All right, fans, we welcome in Alex Pavlovich of NBC Sports Bay Area. As I said, he was Rookie of the Year in 2012 on the beat. Alex, how are you today?
I'm good. That was a long time ago, so I'm like hitting retirement almost by those standards.
Really? Your 10th year covering the Giants, and it's been great to watch your career. Let's talk a little baseball with you. Yesterday, Johnny Cueto, 2 innings, 4 strikeouts, a hit, and I thought he looked terrific.
Yeah, a good start for him. The one thing I would caution, and I think the gun at Scottsdale Stadium's a little bit hot. I always have felt that way. So I don't know that, you know, he was hitting 94, I guess, yesterday, which would be great. Even if he's 92, 93 at this point of spring, that's still good. So I think they feel good about where he's at. And look, the bar for him right now is pretty low just because last year he had the worst ERA in the National League. So if they get anywhere between that and what they used to get from him, it's a pretty good improvement over last year, and I think they'll take it, and they'll take the innings, too. They're going to need those innings, and Johnny's one guy, you know, wants to be out there. So I think that's going to be the main thing. If he can pitch well enough to go out and give them 6-7 innings a night, they're really going to need that, and it looks like he's in shape to do that.
You know, it's really unusual when you look at the rotation. You have Cueto, you have Gausman, you have Aaron Sanchez, Wood, and today's pitcher, Anthony DeSclafani. They all could be gone next year. Isn't that unusual? I don't think I can remember a time like that when you didn't have control over people for 2 or 3 years, especially starting pitchers.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about doing this for 10 years. Like, when I started, it was the same guys over and over and over again. And there was one year where I think the Giants used, like, 6 pitchers over 162 games when I was covering them. And the sixth guy was only because they clinched a playoff spot, and he had to jump in there on hangover day. So, yeah, it's going to be really different. I mean, I would not be surprised. I fully expect them to use at least 10 to 12 guys. I wouldn't be surprised if more than that end up starting games for them this year. And I think the rotation, you know, I don't know that it's going to go the same 5 more than 3 times in a row ever the entire year. I think it's going to be a really strange year. And they've already been heading that way a little bit. But you throw in the fact they're going to 162 games after 60, and it's going to be a strange season. And that's part of why it's built this way. And a lot of these guys, too, they have a lot riding on this season, and that helps the Giants in theory.
Yesterday, the Giants announced a signing of another left-handed relief pitcher, but this one got a major league contract, and it's Jose Alvarez. He's pitched for the Phillies in the past. Gabe Kapler had him. Last year, he was injured and didn't do very much for the Phillies, and, of course, now he is here with the Giants, but a left-handed reliever. And it made me think of this. He's got a major league contract. We know McGee has a major league contract. What does a signing like this say to Barragar, Selman, Peralta, Long, Jarlin, the Marlin Garcia, and Connor Menez? Now, Garcia has no options, so maybe that puts him on the team. But what looked like a lot of competition for left-handed relievers, I think, just ended.
Yeah, you know, the first thing I thought of, and maybe this is just, I've been doing this too long, but the first thing I thought of is somebody must be hurt or somebody must be hurting, because I think they were in pretty good shape there from the left side. And they've slow played some guys. I know Harlan hasn't pitched in a game yet, so we're not quite sure what's going on there. That's the weird part about this season, is we're not, you know, in the dugout every day of the spring. We're not seeing guys come in and out. We're not seeing who's maybe playing catch instead of throwing a live BP. So I don't want to say anybody is hurt, but I think that was the first thing I thought of, is that maybe they have concerns somewhere and don't feel as deep as maybe they look on the 40-man. But then beyond that, you know, it just goes back to I think they expect to use more pitchers than we've ever seen this year. And so it is tough if you're somebody like Barragar, who, you know, 6 weeks ago when we talked to Farhan, he was talking about how he was basically a lock for the opening day roster. And since then they've added 2 lefties who now are locks for the opening day roster. And you know, Sam Selman pitched well last year. I think there's going to be some really good pitchers and very deserving pitchers who end up in AAA.
Boy, it's going to be interesting. So if he signs one more lefty, I quit. That's it. I don't know how
many
more.
Too much.
Yeah. So we'll see. And don't forget, Jake McGee is here, who may be the closer, and Scott Kazmir. We haven't seen him yet as well. Let's talk about today's starting pitcher. Maybe your thoughts about DeSclafani. I talked a little bit about him In the open today, and very average numbers. He was traded from Atletos, which was interesting. But what do you think about Di Sclafani?
Yeah, I mean, just a classic, you know, Farhan Scott signing. I think somebody who has upside. He was really good in 2019. He was not so good last year. I mean, it was a shortened season, and he did have a baby in August. So it was a weird year for something like that, for a player to be going through that. And I think a lot went into last season for him, and maybe that explains some of the struggles. But they're betting on the upside. And, you know, we've seen this multiple times before. I mean, they're betting it's a guy with good stuff that they can help him make a couple adjustments here and there and get good innings out of him. And it's worked for Gausman. I mean, it worked for Drew Smyly. It didn't work as much for Drew Pomeranz, but they threw him in the bullpen. And I think that's one of the things we've seen with a lot of the guys that they've signed is they have the stuff that you can throw him in the bullpen if you have to, but they paid him to be a starter and they paid him to soak up a lot of innings. So I think they're counting on him to really take the next step.
I always like to ask this question. Alex Pavlovich with us, NBC Sports Bay Area. Biggest surprise so far? Now, we've only had six games. The Giants are, what, 1-4-2 or 1-3? 1-3-2 in the six games. Biggest surprise for you and maybe the biggest disappointment just in this first week of spring training?
Ooh, that's a good question. The biggest surprise, I think, you know, we did not know anything about Sam Long a month ago. And not just to hear his story and to hear the fact that he grew up a Giants fan and, you know, basically was given up on baseball and then came back. But the fact that he comes into camp and is talked about right away by Kapler, by Joey Bart, had him press Buster Posey. And then we see him go out there in an actual game. And he's sitting mid-90s, has a really good curveball, has a good changeup, knows what he's doing. Just looked like, I mean, if you didn't know his backstory, you would think he's their top pitching prospect. So that, to me, is the biggest surprise just because, I mean, that's, again, a guy that they got completely for free, came out of nowhere, and potentially looks like somebody who can help him in the rotation down the line. As far as biggest disappointment, that's a great question. I think I'll say this. For me, being on the outside right now, the biggest disappointment is how little information there is and how little we know still. You know, Brandon Belt's been gone basically the entire camp, and they're not really telling us much about him, aside from the fact that he was sick and didn't have COVID. So we don't know if he's going to be ready for opening day. Going back to what I said about the lefties, like, we don't know why certain people haven't pitched. Kevin Gausman hasn't pitched yet, which is, it's maybe not as unusual in 2021, but it's still a little bit unusual that your likely opening day starter hasn't pitched when you're a week into March. So that, to me, is the biggest disappointment, that I think there's going to be things that happen on the opening day roster that maybe, you know, they've known about since the beginning of February, and it ends up being a real surprise to fans and the media.
Boy, good point. Very good point. Alex, we'll take a break. Alex will be back with us. I want to ask what life was like for you during this pandemic, especially just personally and covering baseball. And then a little bit about Jason Vossler and the Rule 5 fellow, Daniel Nunez. He's opened some eyes as well. So we'll be back with Alex right after this. You're listening to KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader. All right, we're back with Alex Pavlovich of NBC Sports Bay Area as he starts his 10th year covering baseball here in the Bay Area. Boy, time goes so quickly. Alex, what was life like for you? Maybe it's going to change a little bit because the fans look like they're going to come back to the park. That does look like a reality. But what was it like for you last year covering baseball with the pandemic?
Yeah, I'll be back in the park too, which I'm very excited about. You know, that to me is going to be the biggest difference. I didn't go to the park last year. It was just a health and safety thing for us as a company, and I did everything from home, which I think covering the games, it wasn't as hard as I thought it was going to be off TV, and the Giants and Giants PR did a great job of getting us as many people as we could on Zoom. But that was the biggest adjustment. And I think just like everybody else at home, office setups and all of a sudden was doing everything on Zoom and maybe in the corner of their bedroom. Like, I had a little studio set up in the house. So that was an adjustment. And then the second thing is, like, I think, like, basically everybody, every other young couple, we got a puppy during the pandemic. So that is something I've never had before and something that takes up a lot of my day and a lot of my time, and it's great, but it was very time consuming. So and he's very energetic, so you might even hear him in the background jiggling right now. So that was the biggest part of, I think, the last year for me.
And you say you will be at the park this year. And is that assuming that this red zone stays the way it is? And if it's 2 good weeks, we could up it to maybe 13, 14,000 in the park. Is that what you're counting on?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be there no matter what, I think, even if there's, you know, just a few fans.
Okay.
But I do live, you know, I live right in the heart of the city, and I've seen everything that's happened here over the last year. And I'm very, very confident. I think it's even going to get better. I think we're going to the next tier pretty quickly. I mean, San Francisco has, for better or worse, has locked down over the last year. And I've seen a lot of local businesses go out of business, which has sucked, quite frankly. But they've also done a pretty good job from a health standpoint. So I'm pretty confident, and especially when I look around, you know, the last couple weekends, it's getting pretty much back to normal here as far as people being outdoors and people being in parks and, you know, just being bustling around the city. So I'm pretty confident that we're headed to the next tier before opening day. And I think we're going to have at least 8,000 there for the home opener. And I think we'll be at the next tier and be allowed to have what it would be about 13,000. So,
I think that'll happen. Oh, good. All right. Good report. And I'm in Arizona, so I haven't been up in the Bay Area since October. So I'm glad to hear things are getting better. Let's talk about Jason Vossler. Ron Wotus yesterday, the professor, said he can whistle the pole. He's 6-for-13. He's a leading hitter on the Giants. Does he have a spot?
I don't know if he does right now. I mean, again, this kind of goes back to, you know, if Belt misses the first few days, what do they want to do? He's on the 40-man roster, so that helps. If everybody's healthy, he doesn't have a spot, but I think he will have a spot at some point. I mean, it's clear he's a good hitter. He's one of those guys. I mean, they felt this way a couple years ago. Barhan went out as soon as he got here in 2018 and, you know, started talking about getting Mike Yastrzemski. It took him a while to get him, but it was a guy that he had targeted. And I think this offseason, you know, basically as soon as Vossler came available, he said the Giants came harder than anybody. And it's a guy that they just feel strongly about. And they have a pretty good track record with those guys. And I think we've seen why they feel strongly about him, the approach he has. And the problem for him is they ended up signing Tommy LaStella, who does the exact same thing and plays the same positions in theory and hits from the left side. But it's an older roster. It's an older infield, especially. And this is a guy who can play first and third and some second base, potentially can play in the outfield. So there will be a spot for him. I think, you know, we're going to see him get a lot of at-bats this year. I just don't know if they're going to be in April.
You know, it's funny you mentioned the older players. I brought this up yesterday on the show, and it seems to me that Farhan is doing something a little different than other teams, I think, and that is he's signing a ton of guys who are veterans, 31, 32, 33 years old, to one-year deals. So he said, look, these guys can play now. We only want them for 1 year. I'm not going to have them in 3 and 4 years and have to eat contracts because that's not the way baseball's played. But he has made a concerted effort. Age doesn't seem to matter to Farhan right now.
No, and I think there's two parts to that. One, I mean, they're very, you know, aware that they don't want to block anybody. And if you have somebody who's here on a one-year deal, and whether it's a pitcher or a position player, and you know, Joey Bart's ready, or an Elliot Ramos or Sean Jelly, that guy's ready. Like, you're not blocking him, really, and you're not blocking him long-term. And then, two, look, they're not these guys aren't retired. I mean, 31, 32, it didn't used to be a big deal. So even a little bit older than that, I mean, they look at somebody like LaStella and say, we think he's still going to be a good player when he's 33, 34. So this didn't used to be a big deal. It's become a big deal in today's game, and I understand why teams don't want to give a 31-year-old a 6-year contract, but a 2-year contract, in theory, you're still paying for his prime years, and I think that's what the Giants have tried to do.
Yeah, I like it. I like the fact that they've got some veterans on the team, and they're not afraid to sign a veteran. Darren Ruff is a good example of it, and he did produce, and he's back on another 1-year deal, so we'll see where that goes. Alex, as we enjoy talking ball with you, what about Nunez? There are a couple of hard throwers. Again, 97, 98, it's early in March to be throwing this hard. But they have change-ups, they've got splits, and all of a sudden sliders, and they look pretty good. Nunez may be the best of all of them, and he's a Rule 5 guy.
Yeah, I think he has a real shot. You know, I expect him to be on the opening day roster, and Gabe Kapler said this. I mean, he's just a tick above what we usually see from Rule 5 guys, and the fact that he's not a guy throwing 94. I mean, he's throwing 98 and has a good slider and has good stuff. And he throws strikes, too, which we haven't always seen from the Rule 5 guys that they've had here in the past. So they've taken, you know, they've had four of them before this. They've had three of them playing the big leagues and a couple pitchers, Travis Bergen, Danny Jimenez last year. It didn't work out. But if Nunez is capable of throwing strikes, I think that's the most important thing. I mean, you can't bring him into a game when you're down by five runs in the seventh inning and think that you might have to go get him three batters later. You have to be confident that he can give you an inning or two. And he looks like somebody who's capable of doing that. And if he can do that, I mean, he's going to be the last guy in the bullpen, and they can keep a guy who's thrown 98 and has a good slider and has a lot of potential going down the line.
Interesting. Last thought for you, and I threw this out to Raf earlier, and I think it'll be part of our show today. Is there anyone in the Giants that moves the needle, so to speak? And I realize, you know, we don't have Lincecum and Bumgarner anymore, people like that, but we still have the big four who could be in their last hurrah here as a Giant. And who moves the needle for you?
Is somebody who has gotten very into page hits and analytics and looking into all that the last couple of years as we've evolved as a business. I think, you know, I don't know that there is somebody right now who is that person. I mean, I would say the closest maybe that they have in camp is Marco Luciano, just in terms of the interest from the fan base. Buster's still a big deal. When Buster came back, it was a big deal. But, Andrew Bagley wrote a great story about that earlier in the week, I think, about just who's going to be the gate attraction. And I don't know that they have one. I think some of these guys, they've been here a long time, so it's not as big a deal for the fan base when they see him anymore. And, they don't have anything right now that's close to a Lincecum, to a Bumgarner, you know, these guys that were rock stars and really, I think, sold a lot of tickets just, you know, on the power of their own names. So they don't have that right now. I don't know moving forward what ends up happening. I don't know if it ends up being a big free agent or a couple of these kids come up and turn into superstars. That's what they're hoping. But, yeah, that is something, you know, and going back to the one-year deal, so the one thing I've heard from a lot of fans and the one thing I agree with is that it is really difficult right now to cheer for the Giants in certain ways because you don't necessarily know that somebody's going to be there 3 months later or a year later. And I think that's been tough. I've heard from a lot of fans who say, look, I really enjoyed watching Drew Smyly last year. He was gone. And I enjoyed watching Kevin Gausman. I don't know how long he'll be here. So, that's a problem going forward and a great topic of conversation of who the next, you know, the next big draw is going to be.
Very good. Boy, Alex, love having you on. You're so well connected to the fan base through Twitter and other social media outlets. You always have a good feel for what's going on in the public. So, hey, it's a pleasure to have you on. We look forward to having you on as often as you'd like to be on. So enjoy the day, enjoy the puppy, and we'll be in touch.
Thank you. We'll plan more. I think we're going on our second decade. So, anytime, Marty.
I know. Look, I enjoyed having you on way back then, and it's a pleasure to have you on. So enjoy the day. All right. Thanks, Alex.
Thank you. You too.
All right. You're listening to KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.